No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Ed and Keith from Flight Training Professionals. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. And, you know, I've been doing a lot since the last broadcast of our goofy little show. And I was up in the Big Apple doing a big dive event, hobnobbing with all the TV stars. You can see that I'm sporting an exclusive Sharknado 3 t-shirt right now. This is the only one like it in the world, Ed. Ed's the only one
like
Ed is in the studio with me.
Because nobody else would wear something so tacky.
What are you talking about? This is not tacky. This is the latest trend. I'm a trendsetter. I am. And, yeah, Sharknado 3, and the slogan is, oh, hell no. So, yeah, and I'm in the movie. So we'll talk about that another day, or at least every week until it actually is released in July. So I was up there on Seth Meyers' TV show, and then I hit Jimmy Fallon, did the rounds, stopped by Sirius XM, and yeah. You know, I got a lot of people that were doing shout-outs to me on Facebook this week, said, Greg, I saw half your face! And that was from Seth Meyers. So
was it the back half? Your good half?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say the other half of my face was way better than the one they saw. But I don't know. It didn't really have much impact with the folks. But anyway, it was a big-time fun thing. But in between all this nonsense, of course, I'm watching TV, and I'm catching the news. You know, the latest crash there in Germany was all over the news. And I don't know. I'm pretty fed up, and I'm guessing Keith might be a little bit, too, with the Crash News Network, CNN. Keith, are you with me on this or what?
I am absolutely with you.
Yes. I mean, you would think, of course, this is a big story, and all the news people carry this. But then, after it happens, how long does the story go? They have no idea what happened other than he flew it into a mountain. And he locked himself in the cockpit, and that was it. It was a tragedy. But now you got all this speculation on the Crash News Network. They're turning it into like 24/7 news coverage. And, oh, man. I mean, what are we going to do about this, Keith? What do you think?
I think we should just move on to another subject.
Because oh, okay.
They have distorted it as much as possible. So I don't think we should cover it anymore.
Well, have they distorted it, or have they just started making things up? That's what I started seeing. Is there like all this conjecture of what could have been going on, or pilots need to do more medical stuff, and the FAA needs to crack down on? Yeah, I heard some of that nonsense, and I was just infuriated, saying like, what does that have to do with what happened? Nothing. They don't know what happened. So quit making stuff up.
It's all speculation at this particular point.
Right.
And so that's all they're doing. So there's nothing more that we can talk about. I mean, they've come up with all kinds of theories of what has happened and what they think has happened and what could possibly have happened. And it's all what if. So
yeah,
you'll just wait until the actual thing happens.
What if we never watched the Crash News Network again? Would it end this nonsense once and for all?
I think turned it on again. I mean, I don't watch it, so I mean...
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, but
I think you're the only one, Greg.
Maybe I just like to get my blood boiling. Maybe that's what it is.
I think you like to get my blood boiling.
I think that's what it is.
Well, that's part of it, for sure, right now. So we better move on. We have Tom Haines from AOPA, and I don't know if it boils his blood, but at least you got to deal with this as an aviator, too, especially in the position that you have there at AOPA, don't you, Tom, you think?
Yeah, I do. In fact, I got some email from a producer at CNN at 7:30 in the morning after it happened, 7:30 a.m., wanting me to go on and comment on the accident. And I of course refused because there was like nothing to say.
Well, wait, hold on,
we
Tom.
We knew nothing.
Yeah, Tom. Here's how you respond, just like they do in Sharknado, as it says on my T-shirt, Sharknado 3. You go, oh hell no. That's what you're supposed to say.
I think that's what I said. That's what I said.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Especially at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah, yes, they wouldn't get Greg at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, no coffee, for sure. I mean, but it is. It's. I mean, I understand they're trying to get ratings, and they want to, you know, be on the cutting edge of the story and that kind of thing. But once we know what happened, which came out pretty quick, it goes straight into speculation, and that's what I was hearing them say about, you know, this stuff, especially when they got into this thing where, well, how can we keep this from happening again? If this guy did have a medical condition, shouldn't the FAA know about it? And is the airplane or, you know, airline liable? Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, this guy was crazy, obviously. What else do you got to know? Move on and cover something that actually matters in the world. Okay, I guess I'm off my soapbox. but you have to deal with this. And they are, I mean, the AOPA, I mean, you guys are a go-to organization for these news organizations. Do you ever give them a piece of your mind like that? Or you just kind of tolerate them and go, okay, you're an idiot, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we get calls routinely asking us to comment on various things. And you know, when we think we can make a difference, when we think we can help shape the conversation in a way that keeps it factual and does its best to portray general aviation in particular in a positive light, we'll do that. But for the most part, we get far more requests than we ever fulfill in trying to go on and talk about stuff, because so frequently there's just nothing that we can add that's going to make a difference. So yeah. we try to steer clear of it when that happens.
Understood. Yeah, I mean, you got to deal with it as best you can, and you guys do a great job in that regard. So I don't know. God help him.
My big fear on it was that the medical thing was going to crop up, and there would be a knee jerk reaction about psychological testing for pilots, and of course that's exactly what is beginning to happen. Meanwhile, the guy has a first class medical certificate, and I presume it's the same in Germany. Pretty sure it is. That every 6 months he's going for a physical of some sort, and yet this still happens. So
right.
Anybody suggesting that more regulation is somehow the answer is smoking something, because we are highly regulated already. It did not prevent this, and so the idea of, you know, let's do even more is not a solution.
You hit the nail on the head, because that's exactly what I saw them talking about, and I was yelling at the TV. And I was just furious. I was
find
like,
that hard to believe.
Yes! I'm such a low-key kind of individual. I'm actually channeling Keith today, I think, is what it is. But yeah, I was watching this from my hotel room and go, are you crazy? What are you talking? You're not even talking any sense right now. That has nothing to do with it. You're totally speculating. And like you said, even though we have these tools in place, it still doesn't. You're still going to get a crazy person every now and then. There's no way to solve that potential tragic event, unfortunately. And you know, obviously, there's things you could do to facilitate, whether it's, you know, locks on doors and things like that. But turning it into that type of medical certificate thing is irritating, especially because we've been fighting so long to get the third class medical restriction lifted, so I can get back to my flight training. That's what this is all about, right?
That's right. It's getting Greg back to flying again.
It's all about Greg, always, isn't it?
I keep thinking it's only going to be another couple weeks, and then something keeps happening. But they did have some meetings about that. I know I saw that on AOPA Live. So just last week, what's the latest from your perspective on that?
Well, there's two paths. One is the regulatory path, which is apparently stalled at the Department of Transportation after the FAA handed it over a long time ago. And they've been sitting on it for essentially 8 months between the two organizations.
Wow.
So we're not confident anything's going to happen there. So we're moving down the legislative path and looking for a place that we might attach the legislative language to a bill. We've got the Pilots Bill of Rights already, Pilots Bill of Rights 2 already making its way in, and we're looking for other opportunities to places we might attach it to other bills. We have, I think I heard just this morning, we've got 14 or 16 senators on board and about 40 members of the House of Representatives already signed on as co-sponsors of the Pilots Bill of Rights 2. So that's great progress considering they've only been in session for a couple of months and since the new Congress form, and of course they're not there all that much, including right now they're off for another week or so until after Easter, I think.
Well, so but you're saying the other process where it's going through the FAA is just totally stalled out right now? It's not moving anywhere?
Well, it's just, it's not moving. Doesn't, I mean, tomorrow, DOT could pass it on to OMB, which is the next step in the process, but we get no indication that that's going to happen anytime soon. They just seem to be sitting on it.
Interesting. But well, maybe they were too busy approving the drones for Amazon, which evidently they did last week, but then Amazon said, well, that's great. We've already come out with an upgrade, so this is already outdated.
That's exactly what happened.
That is insane. But I guess that just goes to show how slow they can be at getting this stuff. So, yeah, hopefully the legislative way will be the way to go, which is probably the first time on the planet where I've actually agreed that is a good thing. Legislation is not really the thing I'm a big fan of. But maybe that's just me. Keith, care to chime in? Or do you need to take a baby aspirin right now?
I think Tom said it very well. I don't think I need to chime in anymore.
Okay, he's done. All right, more coming up on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I gave Willie the greatest gift of all.
Chase, you sure about this?
The gift of flight.
What could go wrong?
A lot could go wrong.
I mean, you're strapped in.
I'm aware I'm strapped in.
Enjoy the ride, man.
You got it, baby.
I don't know. This something doesn't feel right.
Put him in orbit.
When I die, hallelujah, by and by.
Let's fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith of Flight Training Professionals. FTPros.com, the website to go to and learn how to fly with them. Also with us on today's flight, right now at least, we have Tom Haynes from AOPA. You can check him out every week on AOPA Live with, I don't know, is she your official new co-host on there? What's her name? Melissa, right?
Melissa, yeah. Rittinger is... Yeah, she's now a co-anchor with us. She was kind of an advocacy expert. We were using her that way, and we've decided to bring her on as a co-anchor a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, she is a real nice lady. We saw her at the Heli Expo and had a little chat. And, yeah, she's a real fun lady. It'll be a nice addition. Just mixing it up, more resources for you to get the latest aviation news there for AOPA Live. You're always doing good work there, Tom. Hats off to you, buddy. All right.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah. So now I want to talk about Sun and Fun because we're, 3 weeks away? Yeah, I mean, it's almost, it's going to be here before we know it. And I know you guys are planning a lot of cool stuff, as you always do, have a nice big presentation there at the event. But you're doing something a little different that, I don't know, is this a exclusive announcement we're having right now for you guys, or what? What's going on?
Well, yeah, you're going to be first to hear about a project we've got running at Sun and Fun called 1 Week Ready to Solo. And we're working with Redbird and Sporties and Jeppesen and some other companies in the industry to basically to show people, the non-pilots, that learning to fly isn't as hard or as time-consuming as you thought, and that in a week, if you work hard, in a week you can be in a position to fly an airplane by yourself. And we're going to document that with three individuals that we've identified who are bringing to the show have zero experience flying general aviation airplanes.
Wow.
Going to put them in a Redbird simulator using the Redbird curriculum, and going to do briefings there at the tent where the simulator is at the Redbird tent.
Yeah.
There on the main drag at Sun and Fun. And got video cameras inside the simulator. We've got videotape of everything they're going to do that week, including the Red Hawk 172s,
cool.
the diesel-powered 172s out of Plant City Airport. And got cameras in there. We'll have camera or video crews with them everywhere they go. And document the whole thing. And like I said, within a week, we're pretty confident that from Saturday to Saturday, Saturday at the end of the show, they're going to be ready to solo an airplane. And we're going to do we're calling a supervised solo, where the instructor is going to be there, because given that sort of restrictive airspace and a lot of traffic going on around the show, we just weren't ready to actually have people soloing there. So
yeah.
The camera's in the airplane. We're going to watch and make sure the instructor sits there the whole time,
does
silently with his hands in his lap, and let them go do a circuit at Plant City, and then come do a flyby on Saturday of the air show and announce to the crowd that these folks have gone from zero time to ready to solo in a week. So then we're going to cut that whole thing up, all the video up, into webisodes. We'll put out on YouTube, and we're going to ask the pilot community to send it all to their friends to show their friends who, we all know somebody who says, gee, you know, I'd like to learn to fly, but, it seems too hard. It takes too long, whatever. And to show them that, no, it's not that hard. You can do it. It's achievable.
Yeah.
Share it out in their network. So hopefully we can make a difference.
Are they going to be using their new, at least a year ago, they were calling it GIFT, their guided instructional program where they're doing the tutorials on the Redbird, where it's teaching them breaking down the steep turns and that stuff step by step?
Hmm.
They are. They
Good.
Are. That's part of the experiment, is to show that software, that guidance that a student can get as they're going through the various maneuvers is very useful in getting them through a process pretty quickly. I've used it. I guess you have too, and it's pretty impressive what it can do.
It's been about a year and a half since I saw it. It was really early stages, but they had us doing spot landing competitions against each other during the migration in, mm-hmm. I guess it was 2013. I didn't make the 2014 one to see how they'd progressed. But
well, we flew the diesel-powered
one. Yeah, you flew the Red Hawk. But what I'm talking about is where you're going into their simulator,
yeah.
And going through this tutorial, and it's actually scoring your steep turns and all that stuff.
It's mm-hmm. scoring them.
Yes. Mm. So, in other words, me saying you failed won't be as bad as the simulator laughing at you with the red death face saying, ha, 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 ha,
yes.
You failed.
Right.
No, well, seriously. It's much more positive than that, but only for Greg would we program it to add those elements, yeah.
That extra torture. Yeah. That actually would probably be good for me. It'd be
Make
motivation.
Make it like a ride at Universal.
Yeah. There you go. And but that does sound really cool. Now, how much airtime will they actually get in the plane? Do you have a certain amount of hours that they'll have to get? It'll just depend on how they're doing with landings and stuff and takeoff.
Well,
there is
a complete schedule mapped out for every minute of their day. Practically is
yeah.
going to be taken up between pre and post flight briefings, ground school briefings, simulator time, and the trip to the airport, and then flying. And we're also having celebrity flight instructors like Sean Tucker, Patty Wagstaff, and people like that dropping in throughout the week to spend time with them and instruct them in certain key areas. But anyhow, so yeah, it's kind of whatever it takes. Just like with a typical student, there is no magical number for solo. It's It's whenever the instructor feels they're ready, and so we believe that in about a week they will be in a position to solo.
And these three people that you got to do this for Sun and Fun, you found them how? They won the lottery? Because that's what it sounds like to me. Sounds like a pretty awesome prize.
Yeah, it is an awesome prize for them. And what we did was we went out to some markets that we've identified through some research that suggests that the people that participate in some active sports and are interested in cars and motorcycles and that come from certain backgrounds have a higher interest, more likely to be interested in learning to fly. So one of the folks we've got is a former military member. In fact, he's a sniper. We've got a guy coming out of the motorcycle world who works at Harley-Davidson but also builds motorcycles in his garage.
Keith.
We've got a woman out of Detroit who works in the automotive business, and she's just a real car nut. So, kind of a motorhead herself. So, anyhow,
radio people that have...
They wanted people that had a chance of succeeding, Greg.
appeared in Sharknado 3. No.
And was one on Seth Meyers? Yeah, that guy?
Half his face, just half.
Yeah, right.
Not good half, but regardless. Yeah, anyway, that sounds really cool. That'll be fun to follow. I mean, the weather could end up playing a factor, but I guess most of the training will be done in the Redbird anyway, right? Ed?
Yeah, and we've taken that into account. The schedule allows some slack in there for weather days, or at least a weather day, and that sort of thing. So we might get washed out, but we're hoping that it's going to be okay.
All right. Well, it sounds quite interesting. A new thing AOPA is going to help sponsor along with some other folks, and we'll have to cover that accordingly when we broadcast from the Sunset Grill once again during lunchtime.
Yep.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Is it the plan or thereabouts?
You tell me. I don't know.
You'll go where we tell you to go.
That's
what
basically
you're saying.
It.
Okay. We'll tell them where to go during the commercial break so we don't offend anybody. AOPA.org is the website to go and connect with Tom and catch AOPA live every week for sure. More coming up on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. All right, so did you guys know about those drones? About that? You didn't know about that Amazon story, did you, Ed? You looked at me like, really? That's what happened?
No, I didn't. I'm on day 15, 16 of 18, so, you know, news. Yeah, I haven't seen TV.
We're talking about work. You haven't been on a bender for that long.
Yeah, no, I've been working.
Yes,
and so I haven't watched.
You haven't been traveling.
I've not caught up with AOPA live. Shame on me.
What?
I know. I haven't caught up on my daily prop wash.
Yeah.
That I
read.
So
I'm the only one in the know. Keith, did you know about this? Are you?
I didn't know about it.
You
I didn't know about it. Yes.
Yeah. You know, he can lie.
Now I did catch the AOPA.
No, I actually did that. Have I AOPA live? No, but I did catch that whole thing on the drones.
You heard about it.
Now I did see on AOPA live the last episode that I saw where some news helicopters chased a guy that had the UAV that was filming a fire that they were filming, and they tracked it back to him, got a picture of him, followed him to his residence, and turned him into the FAA.
Aha. Uh-huh. Interesting. Well, yeah, they got to be on the lookout for these things.
Yeah, this thing was right up there in the middle of them.
Yeah, but I'm surprised Amazon's that far along. You know, everybody thought this was going to be something we'd see maybe in 5 years, but they're already, now they got approval to do some testing of these things and some kind of special permission from the FAA, but it is pretty comical when they said, yeah, thanks. We don't even want to use these drones anymore, you idiots. Come on. So it was pretty funny how it was received by them. So it'll be interesting to see if they still pursue it or they're throwing in the towel on this thing. I don't know. I think it said Amazon Prime Sky or something, Sky Prime or something.
Yeah, no, Haven't seen it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now you know it could happen. It could show up at your front door, and I want you to know.
Order from Amazon, which I don't do.
You don't do anything, Ed. It's work, work, work. You need to loosen up, my friend. Right, Keith?
He's going to do that this weekend.
Oh, that's okay. Right. Oh, that's right. You know, you're going to do a little vacation. We'll give him a break. But we got a couple more segments to make him work through first. And that's next on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Everybody on every plane should just constantly be going, oh my God! Wow! Yes! You're sitting in a chair in the sky.
Yes!
Come on and fly!
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. All right. So a couple weeks ago, we were talking about, or actually maybe it was even last week. I don't know. It's all a blur. But Santa Monica Airport, where Harrison Ford crashed his plane, you know, not only did that put it in the news, but it's been in the news for some time because the local residents want to, there's some people in the area want to shut it down. They don't see the value of it because they're not aviators and I guess maybe think it makes too much noise or I don't know.
Well, the city has been trying to shut it down.
Yeah.
And the FAA is basically mandated because they've got federal money used in it that it can't be shut down to a certain date once the basically that money has been depreciated.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's a big land pole because it's quite a few acres in mm-hmm. a rather prime location, and it's not just there. There are those kind of fights going on all the time.
Well, that one's getting a lot of attention nationwide because is it just because it's such a popular airport in a highly populated area, and it's more needed, I think, maybe for general aviation in that particular area. Think, maybe? Or what? Or is it just because people like Harrison Ford fly in there?
I think it has to do with the fact that there are a lot of Hollywood types that go in and out of it, and
right?
So that you know they're going to call their friends, and their friends are going to call their friends, and you know people like AOPA get involved. Now AOPA gets involved with you know even if it was you know a municipal airport in a small rural town,
right?
If there was an issue in the city or the state, were trying to close it down, AOPA would be there with airport advocacy groups. Helping them keep it open.
Well, we were talking to Abington as well, and she learned to fly out there, and she mm-hmm. gave us the impression that was a very popular airport. Didn't you get that vibe too, Keith?
Definitely.
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand the property value issue, and that's what it kind of comes down to when you're dealing with the local cities and things, and mm-hmm. I assume that's the problem. And evidently, they had a meeting last week or something where they didn't make any final decisions, but there's some talk of turning partial or land parcels of the airport into a park or something, which is kind of like the first steps at turning it into something else. Like maybe they're going to take baby steps. The city's going to try to chip away at the airport in that sense, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Well,
and they all, you know, anytime, you know, unfortunately, Harrison Ford just had an unfortunate incident there. But when that stuff happens, it gets even more publicity.
Right.
Because now they're worried about, okay, what if this was my house? You know, that, you know, he didn't make it to the golf course.
I know about, you know, 1.2 million women across America would go, thank you, Lord! If he, yeah. I mean, you know, as long as he saved the plane. And yeah.
Unfortunately, those women don't live there.
No.
What do you mean they don't live there? You're saying people in California don't like Harrison Ford? What are you saying?
No, I'm saying the 1.2 million women that you think you know.
We know he doesn't know 1.2 million women.
That is an actual stat that I pulled from the...
from your what?
Yeah. Somewhere. Anyway, yeah, I mean, it could be many factors, but it's interesting to watch. It is getting a lot of coverage in the aviation world, I think. More so than other airports, and like I said, it's probably just because
of that. I think it's location in L.A. And,
location.
Yeah, and now there are other airports that are in trouble around the country, too, and it has a lot to do with land values. It has a lot to do, the other part that Keith just brought up is, you know, people are afraid that the airplanes are going to crash into their house. You know, I mean, think of Orlando Executive. We don't have a lot of options. You kind of talk about what happens if I have engine failure, just like Abington was saying, everybody... you know, knows that off that runway, our best spot's the golf course.
Right.
You know, you kind of do some pre-planning if you're presented with that situation, so you have some ideas, so you don't have to, you know, make a split second decision there.
Right.
But, you know, the John Q. public doesn't know that. John Q. public doesn't understand the economic impact, the jobs that airport brings to the community.
Right.
And not just the jobs at the airport, but the jobs that are influenced by the businesses that fly into that airport to go to their work locations, you know, build their factories and have their offices. And that, you know, when what's amazing is that the city of Santa Monica doesn't see the economic impact of it, because I'm sure they've been presented with plenty of studies showing that in economic impact.
All they have to do is watch the last season of Entourage, and you'll see how all the Hollywood bigwigs, they fly into these little airports like that. And dump just boatloads of money. If, you know, nothing else, they're flying them in from Colombia or something. And as soon as they fall out of the plane, there's like, you know, stacks of thousands and things like that. It's just science.
Science? Where does he get this stuff, Keith?
The same place I got that other thing I was telling you about.
Oh, out your... Okay. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's an unfortunate situation, but we'll keep covering it ad nauseum, just like the drones and just like the Crash News Network. It's just what we have to do sometimes. We got to keep our aviators in the know. Because
it'll be interesting to see if the city goes in there with a bulldozer in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
That's been done.
It's happened before. Right.
It happened in Chicago.
Yeah.
And what did they do? They made it a park.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that won't be the case. I don't think that'll be the case. They got Harrison Ford there. He's got pull. He'll send the stormtroopers after him if they try to do that or something. So I feel there is some level of protection against that. But as aviators, you know, being in this community, we are a part of our roles, whether you like it or not. I think you have to kind of take that banner and fly with it to kind of keep, John Q. public informed a little bit. And that's why we're talking about this right now. I think it's important that we alert the aviation community to some of these issues. So when this gets brought up, you got to be a little bit more proactive to educate some of those people from the Crash News Network to tell people that they don't see the value of having a local airport handy. You need to step up or your livelihoods and your favorite activity that you like to do could be in jeopardy.
Yep.
And, you know, the flight instructors have a big role to play in that, because they need to teach people that, it might be cool to lift off and make an early turnout. But you know what? That really upsets the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've got noise abatement things and so forth. You know, follow your standard traffic pattern rules that have been established for the airport. Mm-hmm. And the neighbors won't get nearly upset as they do when people do what's basically called cowboy-style flying.
Yeah. You think that's the number one issue in the airports is the noise? It's just the noise from the airplanes?
It's a huge issue.
Well, I'm sure.
I mean, every airport has a CNAC committee, which basically is a noise abatement committee.
Yeah. Do we have that at
Orlando Executive? Yeah.
Is that a big problem in Orlando Executive?
Oh, yeah.
I've driven by down Colonial. It's more noisy at the Best Buy than it is at the airport.
Oh, you go into those neighborhoods just south of the 408.
Yeah.
They are off of Bumby. They get a lot of noise complaints out of that area.
Interesting.
Yeah, especially on departures, but also on arrivals. And a lot of it actually is OMC helicopters back and forth to the airport too. That we get a lot of those complaints. But and so the CNAC committee is you know a group that will go out and talk to the committee or the communities and the homeowners associations and all that, trying to help them understand that economic impact at what it does for the area and what the normal procedures are, so that if they do see somebody who's out of the normal procedures, they know the difference.
Right. Understood. Well, yeah. That would make sense. It's all about educating the public. Like I said, it goes back to being an aviator and an ambassador for our community. That's
what Keith was saying with the flight instructors.
Yeah.
We are that stormtrooper. Yeah.
Where'd you pull that out of?
I picked it from you. That's scaring the heck out of me. Help me, Keith.
Please use gloves. Anyway.
Too late.
Oh, man.
That's just one extra facet that a new instructor needs to be taught, and really take that bull by the horns, because otherwise their livelihood could be gone very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, understood. And there you go. Now, we got some other stories we got to talk about. Honda Jet got their,
provisional
type
certificate.
A certificate from the FAA. And I bet we saw this plane like 4 years ago. And it's like, how long is this supposed to take the FAA to approve this thing? Or do they got to build it first?
Well, they've got to build them and test them.
Now they got approval to test them?
No.
All right, we'll figure out what this means, because obviously I'm missing something, which would be a first on Just Plane Radio. Yeah, put the gloves on, Ted.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive.
Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations.
Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night.
Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it.
There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan.
Spread your wings and fly away. Fly away. Far away. Pull yourself together, cause you know you should do better. That's because you're.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me. That is Queen.
Come on.
That would be from the News of the World album. And I say that because, as you can plainly see in the Just Plain Radio studio, we have a new studio clock, which is a Queen album. You see that, Ed? What do you think of that? Pretty nice stuff, huh?
Wouldn't have seen it if he didn't point it out to me.
Yeah, it's a repurposing of a Queen album. That is actually the Jazz album. I know this because I am a big Queen fan, if you hadn't figured
that
out.
You're a big Queen?
I mean, the Rubber Gloves gave it away, I think, maybe, but... No, but it's just, you know, I'm...
Or lack thereof.
Okay.
Okay, let's find a story to talk about.
Move on now. Moving on, for sure. Okay, Honda Jet. So they get their provisional...
Type certificate.
Type certificate, which, you know, they've been test flying this thing for years, I thought.
They have four test aircraft that have been going through the test program. They've flown about 2,500 hours in the test program.
Okay.
And what it is basically the FAA has moved one step closer to the final certification.
Yeah.
There are about 12 already assembled airplanes on the production line. And so now the process starts moving pretty quickly to the actual production certification, which then allows them to start delivering those airplanes.
Okay, so the five planes that they've made with the production line are built, and now this provisional allows them to fly those?
No. It just moves them a step closer to starting to make deliveries to people that bought the airplanes.
So they haven't been able to fly those at all? They've been able to test fly them, haven't they?
The four, the test airplanes, yes.
But not the five.
They've flown 2,500 hours on
the four. But not the five production ones yet.
There are 12 production ones sitting on the assembly line, already built, ready to deliver. And once they get the production test certificate, then they'll be able to go through, do their production testing on those, and then deliver those aircraft.
Okay. All right. I think I understand. It just seems kind of convoluted to me. Do these steps seem all that necessary to you as far as, like, it's either ready to fly or it's not? Like, after a certain amount of hours... Shouldn't it just be given the green light, Keith? What's going on there? I mean, what am I missing?
No, you're not missing anything. It is just the procedure set forth that the FAA's got. All along the way, there's different little checkpoints, kind of like progress checks, if you will, as they go through the certification process.
I understand that. Okay.
But they just want to make sure that the airplane is going to fly and be reliable.
All right, so the provisional is maybe, a semi-final, like, or is it a quiz, a final?
Basically, yeah. It's everything looks good. Now let us go back and check everything one more time. Make sure all the I's are dotted, T's are crossed before we give you that final certification.
Got it. Okay.
And, you know, the key thing here with Honda Jet is that they've never built an airplane before.
Right.
Whereas Cessna producing they've got the Latitude that they introduced and they have to go through this same process. The difference is it's not their first rodeo. They've done it time and time again, so they can get through it a little bit faster than a new manufacturer because the new manufacturer's never done any of this before. So the FAA is going to take more time to scrutinize because there is no track history.
Got it.
And that's
why there's no track history on this design either with engines on top of the wing instead of underneath the wing or on the tail.
Yeah. Now
we have all new design.
Yeah, but we've all seen the plane in person, and you guys as flight instructors, what do you think? It looks kind of cool to me, but I don't know what I'm looking at really other than I would like to fly one of these because it's very plush inside.
I think the specifications, if they're able to meet it, I think it's going to be an amazing little airplane. It's going to outpace everything else in its class.
Yeah.
It's going to be able to carry more load. It's going to be able to go faster. And if, once again, the specs that they have put out to the media and mainstream aviation hold true with the production airplanes. Now, that's a big if, because that's usually what happens, is they say it's going to do one thing and then you get it. Well, our friend Steve with the Bonanza, who was told it'd do 175, and we've never seen it do more than 170 once. And he brings that up to the salesperson every time he sees her.
Interesting. So he's a little annoyed by that, huh?
Yeah, he's a little annoyed by it. But they're trying to sell him a Baron, and they're like, oh, it'll need 200. He said, well, the Bonanza's never shown me the 175 he told me, so I don't believe that either.
Yeah. Well, did you tell him? I mean, you know how fast those go, don't you?
Yeah, I told him.
Yeah, you told him it wouldn't do that?
Yeah.
But he told you, no, they said it would. If I buy it, it'll do that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A salesperson that didn't tell him the accurate information?
No.
Get out. That's just shocking. But did it work? Is he buying a Baron now?
No, not yet.
Not yet? Not but yet. He wants something faster.
Yeah.
Is he holding out for a Honda Jet?
No. No, he's enticed by the Baron, but he's also thinking about a TBM 850, mm-hmm. which is quite a bigger step.
Yeah. What do you think, Keith? What do you think about that Honda Jet? I know you saw it too, didn't you? You've seen it.
Yeah, I would love to fly that airplane. And, you know, the way they've designed it, it's got a lot more room inside than airplanes of its class, with the engines up on top of the wing instead of, you know, underneath or alongside of it. It takes a lot of room from the cabin area where they would normally run different cabling and wiring and so forth. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a great airplane.
The big question is, did they make the cockpit big enough for Keith?
Is it Sasquatch size?
You know, you guys make me out to be like some kind of ogre or something like that.
You know, well, you can't fit in the 421, you know.
Big enough for Bigfoot.
There's a reason for that, though.
Why?
You know, they put extra padding in the seat.
Oh. Oh, okay.
So they needed more space so you'd feel more comfortable and cushy? Cushy
no,
on
I'm
your tushy?
I'm not actually sure why he did that, but... You know, he put it had each of one of the pilot and the co-pilot seat had 1 inch of extra padding put in there, and so that's why I can't sit up straight in that airplane.
Okay,
but he feels more at home because of the padded room thing he dealt with earlier in his younger days.
Well, yeah, but don't tell the FAA about that.
Never. Yeah. On that disturbing note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. High some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.